How's that? Happy days. Well, good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. I'll invite you this morning to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, and our reading will commence on the first verse. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing in secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whatsoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he seemeth to have. We'll conclude our reading there. May the Lord be pleased to bless that precious reading of his word. It was a rather lengthy reading, but for that reason you can praise the Lord and say, well, we went home today after hearing something really special from God's word, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Let's pray and then we'll come to the text. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to your word this morning. You have bidden us to hear your word. We would ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to understand and our eyes to see it. And may we, Lord, bear testimony to the truth and validity of that word by bearing forth the fruit that it speaks thereof to your praise and glory. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the parable of the sower is so well known to us all, isn't it? And that in itself shows the importance of the parable. The fact that we all know it. And the importance of the parable cannot, I believe, be understated, because it's also, by the way, recorded in the other Gospels. All three Gospels bear testimony to this parable. The Lord intended for the parable to be heard by his people. And I want to say that if we look at some of the background to the giving of the parable, we'll see the importance of it and how it should be. We should be very attentive to its message here this morning. First then, you'll see that the Lord, as he begins to preach, there's a vast multitude of people gathering. And they have not been gathered by accident. We can see this as to be the providential gathering of the people to hear and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in Matthew's gospel also that they came out of every city to hear this message. Please note also that sprinkled through the vast multitude are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we notice that the 12 are there, the reading tells us that there are also certain sisters gathered. And I notice as I read it, and the Matthew account, by the way, tells us a little bit about those sisters, how they were delivered from demon possession, etc. And I noticed that when I read about them, one of them was a very low caste, you might say. She was known as a notorious sinner, and the Lord had cast demons out of her. Her name was Mary Magdalene. But the others were people of the upper caste of the system of the world. They were on the top of the food chain, as it were. One even in the work door was married to a man who served Herod the Great in his palace. So we can see then that the Lord had gathered disciples from all sorts of people in society. The gospel is designed to bring the lowest sinner, but also the persons of the highest culture to salvation in Jesus Christ. I noticed also in the naming of the women something that struck me, and that were the words I found in John chapter 10, verse 3. The women named, and it says here, "He calleth his own sheep by name." Now, isn't that something astounding? That you have been called by your name, by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are being called personally to him. And the Lord says that he calls you by name. And he says that you hear his voice and you don't follow anybody else. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's praise God this morning for the fact that he has called us all by name. Shall we not? He knows you personally and he's caused you to know him personally. Now, all of the Gospels tell us the background to the parable. That the Lord preached this parable from a boat. He was on the sea shore of the Lake of Gennesaret. The boat was pushed out a little bit. The Lord Jesus Christ sat in the boat. And it was from there that he preached the parable of the sower. I just thought for a moment on that the Lord was using every natural thing to bring forth his message to the people. He pushes out in the boat and he's using the natural environment to reach the whole multitude, whereas if he was actually standing in the midst of them, most of them, not all of them, would never have heard him, nor would they have seen him. So he's using everything around him to project the message of the parable to the people. From that, I believe we should learn that we also should use everything at our availability to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the multitudes. The Lord desired this parable to be heard. And you'll notice when the boat is pushed out, the great multitude would have been able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only would they have heard him, they would have seen him. And that's telling me that the great design of this parable and of this occasion is that people should be led to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only led to hear him, but led to see him. And we'll see that is the design of the parable. At the end of the day, it is designed to bring people to hear and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. So this parable, praise the Lord, has been used and should be used to lead people to Christ. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ explains the meaning of the parable. What we need to do is give the parable application in our lives. We have heard it, but let's apply it. And we'll come to that a little bit more later on. Notice what he says to us then this morning. In Matthew 13 and verse 9, he that hath an ear, let him hear. All right, so let's all be open this morning and attentive to the message. And because it is given to you this morning to know the mysteries of this parable and its meaning. And so let's come to it then, shall we? With a deep sense of humility, and let's read this parable. But when we read it, let's say something to ourselves, shall we? This parable concerns me. This parable is about you. It's about me. This concerns me. My heart, as the heart of these people here described in this parable, is unfolded and opened up. My heart is also here. My heart is described in this parable. I too am in the parable. Let's bear that in mind as we begin to unfold the parable of the sower. Now in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The Lord often chose the normal things of life to declare the gospel, did he not? This is one of our Lord's farmyard parables from the common events of life around him. He chose this as a means of explaining a great truth. A man is out sowing seed. We have no doubt as to the meaning of him sowing the seed. For verse 11, the Lord tells us what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. And you'll notice that as the seed is sown, the seed is sown indiscriminately. As a sower sows the seed, it's going broadly and everywhere. But we do notice in the parable that there are different ways in which this seed can be heard. The seed is sown in the same way, and we're told that it's being sown into the hearts of men. That's quite clear. But we find in the parable that there are different ways in which this word of God is heard and received. And we find in the parable that the seed is sown, as it is sown, it is sown in the hearts of men. That's quite clear. And these, the hearts of men, we find different conditions of the heart into which this seed is received. And we can see then in the parable the effect that the seed will have as it's sown in these various hearts of men. And the hearts of men whom he has been pleased to sow the seed in. Let's look at verse 5 again. And from this, I want to draw your attention to the great importance of this verse and what it's telling us to begin with. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. Here is the point. The great importance is that the seed has to be sown. A man has gone out and he sowed the seed of God's word. The seed of God must be sown, because if it is not sown, it cannot be received in the hearts of men. The sowing of the seed is central then to the redemption of mankind. Without the sowing of the seed, there can be no redemption or ingathering of people into God's kingdom. Then let us learn the lesson, shall we, from this parable as we begin. To be earnest as believers, as sowers of God's seed. The seed is the word. And each one of us, as believers this morning, is called to be a sower of God's word. You are the person that goes forward to sow the seed. The Lord has chosen you as his vessel to sow the seed into the hearts of men. I want to draw your attention to the volume of the sown seed, the seed sown. It not only goes into the field, it scatters everywhere. It not only covers the field, but it spills over into all the side paths. Have you noticed that? Now, let's learn a lesson from that. It's not only our duty to sow the seed, it's our duty to sow the seed often and to sow it broadly and as widely as we can. It's our calling from Christ to take this gospel of his kingdom and to spread it out as far as we possibly can. We should sow often, sow plenty, and sow broadly. Shall we not do that? So, when we see this seed being sown around us, can we not see that everywhere the parable of the sower, it will be proved to be found true? I believe the parable of the sower is telling us and describing us what's going on now, is it not? Can we not see around us how the seed of God has been spread to every corner of the world? Or as we say in Scotland, every nook and cranny. The smallest places of the in the corners of the earth, the gospel has been sown. And this parable can rightly be applied to what we're seeing in the world today. And it is describing in a general rule that the gospel is going out into the four corners of the earth even as we speak. But I believe also it's describing what is going on in the Christian church. It is not only applicable to the gospel going out into the world, it's applicable to what's happening in every congregation and every assembly of God's people today. So let's look again at verse 5. We're told that the seed is sown by the wayside. We're told that the word of this seed is trodden down. St. Matthew's account tells us, by the way, the reason why it's trodden down. It's trodden down because of they are unable to hear it. In other words, they're unbelievers. They have unbelief in their hearts, and therefore the word is not received. For that reason, it's trodden down. And for that reason, the devil is able to come in and gather up very quickly that seed that's sown, lest there be any chance of a second application to them. Because the word is trodden down, the devil is able to come in and take it away. And I'm going to suggest that in the heart where the seed of God is sown, where it is cultivated and it grows and it bears fruit, the devil has no opportunity whatsoever of taking that seed away. It will grow and bear fruit in the lives of true believers. Now, we know that the gospel seed has been sown to the four corners of the earth. But as a general rule, it is an absolute fact that it's been rejected by the vast multitudes of mankind. They are represented in this parable. It is an awful fact that in unbelief, men have rejected the gospel, the seed of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it was sown into their hearts. And they have trodden it down. Do you know, not only have man been content not to receive that word, they've trodden it down and persecuted them that preached it to them. Isn't that a fact? It's an awful thing to contemplate that. And let's learn something else from this, because when the seed is trodden down, the scripture here says that the devil came in straight away and gathered it up. I want to say, be on guard, for the devil is ever ready to take away the word of God from the hearts of men. He's on standby. He never rests. He gets no days off, and he's not on holidays. The devil, the minute the seed is trodden down, is in straight away. And let's bear that in mind. Let's remember, the devil is still at work. He's still deceiving mankind, and he will continue to do so until the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. And from the very beginning of the parable there, we see when the seed is trodden down and the devil takes it away, we're to expect two things as the Lord's people shed forth that seed. First, we are to expect its rejection. We're to expect it. Second, we are to expect opposition. Third, we are to expect satanic activity as we attempt, by the grace of God, to sow that seed. Now, as I said, it may also be applied to the church. Really? The parable of the sower applied to the church? Yes. And this first verse in verse 5 is telling us something very important and something very tragic. That there are people sitting in churches every Sunday. They are sitting under the constant preaching of God's word. They hear the gospel every Sunday and sometimes during the week. And yet the tragedy is that the sending forth of that seed into their heart is having no effect upon them whatsoever. They are hearers, but they don't hear. They're seers, but they can't see. The word is preached to them, and it has no positive effect upon them at all. We call these people nominal Christians. Some go to church because they like it. The company's nice. Christians are nice people at the end of the day. And sometimes there's nice music there. And sometimes you get a good feed, you know, and it's a social thing to them. And there's other things associated with churches that people go to because they like it. Some have boys' brigades and all sorts of little clubs that operate within. But these people go to church and they hear the gospel and it has no effect upon them whatsoever. You see, theirs is what I call churchianity. It's not Christianity. They're nominal church people. Can I tell you, I knew a man, knew him well. He was a member of a church for 25 years, a deacon of it. He served in the boys' brigade, etc., etc., etc. 25 years. It was 6 months before he died that he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. For the other 24 years and 6 months, he had churchianity. By the grace of God, he had heard all of that gospel, and he had not been born again. And praise the Lord for God's grace, because that man departed this life full of faith. It's a pity, isn't it not, that for the other 24 years he wasn't able to bear fruit in his life, even as this parable tells us to do. So, these are the nominal Christians in the church. The seed is sown. It has no effect for good on them at all. So we ask the question before we proceed. Is our heart like that heart? Are we barren? Is our heart fruitless? Are the sermons we're hearing every Sunday fruitless in our lives? Well, are they falling by the wayside? Well, only you can answer that. But let's be encouraged, shall we, as we proceed to examine ourselves to see whether or not this is the case. So the Lord's interpretation is quite clear as to what that first sowing means. Now let's read verse 6, shall we? And it says, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The interpretation is given in verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Well, nothing could be clearer than that. Here we have a description of what we might call superficial Christianity. It's Christianity on the outside, all bubbly, effervescent, perhaps noisy, but it's not Christianity in the inside. It's on the outside. You will see it in many of the mega churches scattered throughout the globe. And, tragically, in even some of the smaller gatherings. Here we have people who hear that gospel and externally rejoice at receiving it. They like it. They like to hear about Jesus. They like to hear about the Bible stories. And they, therefore, with great enthusiasm, have accepted some of it. But we're told that this enthusiasm is only external because it hasn't produced any fruit in their heart. So it's very likely that many people who have this enthusiasm outside have no real change of heart inside. Notice what it says about them. It says they have no root. That is, there's no real substance inside them. It's all outside. It's like wearing a bright garment, but inside there's darkness. They make profession of the faith, but there's no root in that faith. In other words, it has no real depth, no real substance. It is false, it's spurious, and it can be found in a lot of churches today. And this religion that they've accepted has made only a temporary impression on them. There's no real work of the Holy Spirit in their life. It says the ground had no moisture. There's no water in it. The water, of course, speaks of us, to us oftentimes in the scriptures as the Holy Spirit. There's no Holy Spirit work in their life to enable the seed to sprout up and to bear the fruits. We see it often around us, tragically. And we are told here that when the validity of this external faith they've received with joy is tested, they wither away and fall away very quickly. They're like a rock which upon a little bit of water has been dribbled on, and it's not done any good. They're like a cut flower, ready to die. Well, that it's found, these people are found in the church should be a concern to us all. Let's look at verse 7 now. And we're told that some of the seed fell upon thorns or among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now, of course, thorns in the Bible reminds us of the fall of man, does it not? And the entrance of sin into the world. Thorns are not good things. This represents sin. This seed is sown into hearts that are full of sin. And because of the sin in the hearts of these people, the seed cannot grow. It doesn't bear any fruit in their heart. It springs up for a little bit, but it's quickly choked to death. So these people that receive this word are a people that we can understand have never loved the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place. That tells us there what has choked this. Look at the sins. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, in verse 14, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and it brings no fruit. You see, what's happened here is that sin in the lives of these people is evident. Christ has never been in their life. They have loved the riches of this world. They have loved the pleasures of this world. They have loved the sensuality of this world. They have loved this life and had therefore no place for the life of Jesus Christ in their life. Christ was never in their life and was never allowed to be part of it in reality. In reality. And of course, here's a warning, is it not, to everyone who claims to be a Christian. Let's examine our hearts. Is our heart a true heart? Or is it a heart that lusts after the things of this world? The Lord warns us that we are to love Him, the Lord our God, first and foremost. So, we ask then as we proceed on, is Christ central to our hearts or is the world? You can't have it either way. James says, if any man be a friend of this world, he is an enemy of God. You're in one camp or the other. Your heart will either be with the Lord or it'll be with the devil. You can't serve God and unrighteous money and the privileges and the glories of this world. You'll be in one camp or the other. So as believers here this morning, let us take heed for this word there, and let's strive to have Christ central in our hearts. Let's strive to be joined to Him, and let's flee from the sins that He mentions here are the cause that choke the word that's being sown. The Lord warns us and encourages us as believers in John 15. And here's what He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. There's a grim warning. But good news, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Isn't that an encouragement? The same God who has sown his good seed into the hearts of true believers will increase that seed till it bears fruit to the praise and glory of his name. Now those words from John 15 lead me back to verse 8. It says here, another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, here we have some wonderful news. It's good news. There are a people who have received that precious seed and believed it from the bottom of their hearts. Their hearts, the scripture says here, the ground in which the seed was sown is said to be good ground. It's said to be moist ground. It's a place where evil and the thorns have been forsaken. And it is the characteristic found in this soil in which the seed is sown and bears fruit that is a characteristic of true and valid Christians. Are you a real Christian? Then goodness will be seen in your heart. Are you a Christian? Then you will have an honest heart before God and before men. Are you a Christian? Then you will be sincere before God. Yours will be a genuine faith. If you are a Christian, then you will have heard this word. You will have not only understood it, but you would have kept it. And more importantly, also, you have obeyed it. You have cultivated that word in your life that it brings forth fruit of the Spirit to the praise and honor of God. Notice then, when we read about this faith, it's said that it's a steadfast and patient faith. It says that they bring with patience bring forth fruit. Here's a steadfastness in legitimate Christianity. It's not a Christianity that is one minute Christian and the next minute not. It's not in and out of the world. It's not in the grave one minute and alive the next. It is a life that is consistently Christian, that consistently bears the fruit that the scripture describes here. And notice this also, that we read verse 16, and this is very important. The Lord says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." Do you know something? The Christian life, the true Christian faith, is a faith that can be seen as though it was a bright and shining light. A candle has been lit in the hearts of us all, and the world around us and our fellow believers will see that God has truly kindled a light in our heart because it will shine forth to the people around us. The true condition of the true Christian will be a heart that will be manifested and seen in the world around us and also in our Christian community. There will be something seen in the lives of every true believer, something in the lives of every believer that will show that there's a true work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of them all. The question is, can you see that in your life? And also, if you ask your brethren, can they see it in your life also? That's very true. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers then cannot be hid. In the lives of all true believers, there will be an unmistakable work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and it will be a work that can be seen. Seen through the actions and through the works that and the fruits of that are evident in our lives. And what are these fruits? And I suggest to you, unlike the previous barren soils, the true fruit that will be born in the lives of all true believers is that they will truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll love the Lord Jesus Christ more than themselves. They'll love the Lord Jesus Christ more than sin. They will hate sin and love Christ. They will depart from sin and they will go to and they will embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And so ultimately, the true evidence, the true shining forth of light that will show the genuineness of the Christian faith will be seen by the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of every believer. If you are a genuine Christian, then the light of the fruit of the Spirit will be shining forth to the world around you and to your fellow Christians. So, it's very important then, before we leave these words, that we ask ourselves personally, under which class of hearers ought you to be ranked? Well, where are you in the four? Only you can answer that. And if you're not sure, then ask your fellow Christians. Because if they can't see the light in your life, then it may be that they're seeing darkness in your life. We are, at the end of the day, our brother's keepers. We're not to criticize each other, but we are to encourage each other in the faith. So, let's never forget then, as we begin to close this morning, let's never forget this, that there are three different ways of hearing God's word. There are three different ways of hearing it. That's what the parable describes. All three of these ways are without profit. They will do you no good if you've heard this word with this kind of heart. As a matter of fact, it's fatal. And after saying that, then let's remember this, that there's only one way to hear the word of God correctly. There's only one right heart before God. And let us bear in mind this also, that there's only one infallible mark of right hearing and of right receiving. And do you know what that infallible mark is? It's bearing fruit. It's bearing fruit. You can receive the word of God with joy and talk a lot about it. But if you're not bearing fruit, then you're barren. You may sit in the church and say, I'm taking this word of God. But if there's sin in your life and it's private, closeted, secret sin, then you're no more a Christian than the devil is. We are to walk as children of the light, even as he is the light. So, the true mark, the true evidence that describes the true heart that's received the true gospel is that it bears true fruit of righteousness to the glory and honor of God. So let me close by saying this then. Fruitless Christianity is Christless Christianity. Fruitless Christianity is Christless Christianity. And to be Christless is to be on the way to hell. Let those solemn words stay with us this morning. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Our blessed Lord and Savior, you, Lord, examine the hearts of all of us gathered here this morning, and you know what condition our hearts may be. And it may be, Lord, that some of us have been pricked in our conscience that we don't really reflect genuine Christianity. Oh Lord, if this be the case, then pour your Spirit upon that stony ground that it may be refreshed, and may that seed of your word bear fruit in the lives of all of us here, Lord, today, who are not walking uprightly and bearing fruit to your glory. May the precious message, Lord, of this parable of the sower stick with us. May we take this message, Lord, out to the world and share it with a lost and dying world. But above all, Lord, may it please you that we may take the message of this parable and apply it with our lives, into our lives, that it might bear fruit to the praise, honor, and glory of your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.